Well, certainly Paul's effectiveness as a teacher and a preacher of God's word was complemented by the reality of who he was and how he lived. And this is so vital in ourselves as well. When he speaks to the elders of Ephesus that he invites to Miletus, where he is in chapter 20, verse 17, he speaks about from the first day that he came to Asia, they knew how he lived. And this is what we know of Paul. He was willing to take a low place. He was not taking advantage of people. He wasn't preaching for the purpose of filthy lucre, as the scriptures teach, warn against. But he was doing this all for the glory of God, and his life was consistent with his message. It wasn't do as I say, not as I do, but do as I say and do as I do. And Paul truly, it was not just sincere, but he lived the reality of what he spoke on. He experienced, and it wasn't something just theoretical. So he could say to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me. So he was very vulnerable to their critical eye, and he was happy to be so. He was who he was, and may we be like that.
I was thinking that it is the elders that he calls from Ephesus. Here is Paul, who is sensitive to the maintenance of things for God, what is to go on for God. And there is to be an element in the assembly of persons who desire to see to it, by the help of the Spirit of God, that things are maintained. There should be that element. And the Apostle Paul is making sure that that element is shored up. He wants to make sure that there are those who will carry on what is for God. Not just simply carry on what I left or what I've deposited, but what is truly of God. And that's why he could make it very clear that, you know, I've in all lowliness and tears and temptations, I have labored. I haven't labored for anything of my own personal gain. I have labored for Christ. And I want to see that what I have pressed is continued on in the present day. So we need a responsible element in the local assembly. We need to have that, or else things are not going to go on. God puts a tremendous responsibility on those who are, say, to take up responsibility in the local assembly, because we have the testimony of God at heart that must be sustained.
In the seven churches to Asia in Revelation, the Spirit of God addresses the angel of the assembly, as you express, the responsible element, those who carry the responsibility and have to answer to God for the state of things. There are always young ones in there. There's always those that are weak in every assembly, but there are those, thank God, that he raises up. When there's failure there, then things go down on a downward tread. And that's why he is addressing them in this special way. And I think what he says then, I've kept back nothing, verse 20, kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, have taught you publicly and from house to house. And then he goes on, what he says, there's four different things. We haven't read them all here. But the point is, it was a balanced ministry. He taught them, testifying, he says, both to Jews and also Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first point. And then in verse 24, he says, and that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Then we have in verse 25, and now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God. It's another aspect which we may be very slack on, but to be a balanced, give a balanced ministry, there in that context we have immediately responsibility that's connected with it. And lastly, in verse 27, for I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So what a full, complete rage. What anchors for the soul in difficult times? And this is what the Lord would encourage, that even at this present time, our ministry be characterized by that balance to bring in all the different aspects. That's what establishes the souls. Keeping back nothing but the Lord had committed to Paul. And this is the ministry that we've been committed with, all of us. For at one time, we were listening to our elders, to those in responsibility. And I was surprised one time, well, many times, that suddenly those that I was had been following, listening to, they were all gone. So that responsibility will come upon your shoulders, younger brethren. It will. Because you will be left behind. What have you gathered? What have you taken in? What have you maintained that you'll be able, as it were, to carry the baton and carry on that responsibility in the midst of the assembly of the saints of God, and to establish and to strengthen the things that remain?
And over here, one thing that is noticeable, the elders, as we have heard, since they're going to carry on after the departure of Paul, he sets before them what should be seen in these company. The first thing that we have heard very clearly, and we can never exhaust that subject, that doctrine that is being taught needs to be lived out. This is why in Christianity there is so much lack of interest in Christianity, probably because our lives don't reflect the doctrine. We speak one way and we live in a different way. Paul was one that was not hypocrite. Everything he taught, he lived it. That's why in boldness, he can say in 1 Corinthians 11, be ye followers or imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's one thing. The second thing is that in all humility or lowliness, brethren, there is nothing in this scene that will destroy our ministry more than pride. When we come to a point where we think we know it all, or we think that I am better than my brethren, there is a sense of pride in my life. You can rest assured that's the downfall of whatever ministry the Lord has given you. So the second thing he highlights, that with service comes humility, not pride. And then there is the thought of tears. I don't know how many times, I never counted them, but I think it's worth counting, how many times we read of the tears of Paul. But he can look at conditions, he can look at the needs, he can see where are we as saints of God, and cry before God on their behalf. Tears for the sake of the spiritual condition amongst the people of God. It reminds me again of Nehemiah. They were fasting and prayer, but they were tears and weeping. And brethren, I don't know how many of us are familiar with tears when we witness where Christianity is in the last and closing days. But may the Lord help us to be imitator of Paul as he is imitator of the Lord. Learn how to be humble. Yes, God has delivered the measure of truth to us, but it should not cause us to be proud. It should really cause us to be humble. So may the Lord keep all of us humble with whatever service he gave each and every one of us.